I wish I'd given it to you sooner, but I don't think it's terribly hard to digest. The last time we were discussing zoning, my understanding was that we weren't ready to have me do a rewritten set of draft zoning because there might be more comments, and that it was going to be helpful to have some information about, you know, what do buildings look like and how big are they? Because we were kind of guessing about how big certain types of retail operations might be, how big might apartments be, how bulky might apartment buildings be, that kind of thing. And so what I did was I went online and I looked at some of the projects in communities that I work in. Two communities that I work in pretty frequently are Town of Poughkeepsie and Town of Hyde Park. And so I came up with a set of illustrations and some explanation as to why I came up with those. So the first thing I did was I looked at residential development. And again, we're not talking single family really in this proposed plan development district. And do I need to do a little refresher in case folks are new to this topic?
Is anybody here?
I'm fine.
From the board, I mean, we kind of know what I'm talking about. Well, we asked a question, so.
Just quickly, the town is considering a draft local law that would create a new zoning designation, in other words, create a plan development district, a table for the uses that would be permitted, a table for the, you know, bulk regulations, you know, setbacks, how many acres do you have to have, that kind of thing, and also some text that deals with how would somebody go about establishing a plan development district and what would be the supplementary, you know, bulk and dimension regulations, what would be the supplementary design guidelines and things like that. So that long-winded thing is all to say that the town is contemplating creating this zoning designation but isn't going to rezone any lands. If this local law is adopted, it would create a mechanism by which somebody who has land or has control over land in certain zoning districts, right now it's just commercial, could begin a process before the town board, going back and forth with the planning board and the town board to try to demonstrate that they have what they need, a piece of land and a proposed development and a mixture of uses, et cetera, where they could survive this process, which is pretty lengthy, and eventually have their piece of land designated as a planned development district. And after they go through that process, which is pretty intensive, then they would go to the planning board once they have that designation and go to site plan review.
Can you explain what we're doing with the commercial up there? Why it's just commercial right now, and we're changing this for that reason, so we can use for both uses, for housing,
right,
senior citizens, affordable housing, whatever comes along, if that's what we're going to allow in this area. Mixed use, we find that that is the best thing. I mean, what you're seeing out there nowadays in the town, it's not just we have all the industry in one spot and all this, it's being mixed use, and it seems to fit, seem very well, and we're trying to design it so it fits in the town, so we just don't have huge big block buildings set here. But basically right now, if they came down and proposed there, it would be very hard for us to say you can't do something, because if the industry came in and I want to put a bunch of buildings here with a bunch of businesses and stuff like that, it's already zoned for that. So we're looking to change that to make it more so that we'll work with the people that are there. So, I mean, you know, you can have on both sides, residential and commercial, and we'll fit, because it seems to fit better with residential. Now you got smaller businesses or businesses that support the residents or vice versa. I mean, you know, if it's a shopping center or anything else. So,
yeah, more communities are heading in this direction.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a little bit more natural than the whole era of the 70s and 80s where a lot of communities separated uses because that was the logic at the time, and now it's turning into, you know, being able to be near, live near your workplace if possible, and being the retailer with residents nearby. So we've had a few work sessions going over the draft zoning. I've had some really great comments on the draft zoning, the two tables, and waiting to hear more tonight, hopefully. But the one thing that I believe you needed to be able to evaluate where are we going. Hopefully this answers some of that. So I'm just going to walk through this step by step. The first two items are just residential buildings. Just to kind of give you an idea, I looked at a small apartment, not really small, but it's not huge. These apartments happen to be near Marist College. This is number one, apartments at 35 West Cedar Street. And basically these buildings are about 10,000 square feet gross floor area, meaning all of the floors together. So if you look at the first photograph that's attached to the memo, it says right at the top, 35 West Cedar Street. And that's just to give you an example of what does a two-story structure look like from the street. That is basically, that's a 10,000 square foot gross floor. So where that building lands on the ground, the footprint is about 5,150 square feet on the ground. And then it has another floor, a second floor that's the same square footage, basically.
That's per building.
That's per building.
Right, and how many, do you know roughly how many units are in per building?
Basically, and just another thing is there are, on this particular parcel of land, there are six of these buildings, kind of in a little U-shape. If you look at the photograph, you'll see there are sort of, looks like either red or orange doors.
Mm-hmm.
When I copied, the coloring changed a little bit, and I'm pretty sure, because my daughter-in-law lived in one of these, that each of those doors opens into a two-story sort of townhouse-style apartment.
Mm-hmm. It looks like there's five of them.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that each one, they either have four or six bedrooms in each. So it's a bunch of college kids living together.
Mm-hmm.
My goal here was just to show you, what does this thing look like mass-wise?
What a two-story building looks like, when we asked that.
Right,
yeah.
Yep.
How does it look?
Yep.
Don't you like that look like that?
Yeah, basically like that. I mean, they weren't a brick like this, but same guidelines, roofs, different shapes.
And I actually also like this example because they broke up the line of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at this from the air, they broke up the lines here. You're not just looking at a flat facade with a bunch of windows and bricks. They kind of broke it up with little architectural features. The next one, number two, Fox Run Apartments on Fulton Street. This is intended to give you an example of a pretty big four-story multi-unit building. Now, I think that with the height consideration that you have in mind, if somebody went up three stories and had a peaked roof, they might be close to 45. So in the zoning that you're looking at with a 45-foot height, my best guess, and Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, is that three stories with a peaked roof might be getting close to
get right around there, I guess.
Right,
indeed.
Right, with whatever separation they need between floors. So if you go to the next picture, it's a little far back from the road, and I'm going to just go ahead and say that this is also an example of one where they didn't really do much to articulate along the facade. So you kind of have an example of the 35 West Cedar is kind of articulated. In other words, they kind of broke up the line of the front of the building. And the one at Fox Run Apartments, that's four stories, is a box.
It's pretty much
a box. But if you went down one floor and put a peaked roof on it and articulated the building a little bit, you know, it might be a nice compact thing.
And
so
take the squareness out of it, in the front and the side. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Break it up. That's the whole
thing.
Yep. Make it look so much better.
And you have language in the draft that talks about that. That, you know, if you decide to really push whoever's in front of you wanting to have a planned development district, you have some standards in there that say that they need to break up along the facade. And, you know, my feeling is if somebody's going to come to you and want to do this mixed-use thing, you want to put them through the paces to make sure you're ending up with a quality development if you're going to allow them to have this designation. So. The next one is an example of a small standalone retail. It's number 3 Rite Aid. That's in Hyde Park. And it's a one-story retail building. Hyde Park has a standard for that zoning district that says they would prefer that you do a two-story building. In other words, for that Rite Aid building, they would much rather see Rite Aid on the bottom and a few apartments up top. But if you're not going to do the apartments up top, they want to see a building that looks like a second-story building, so it's not...
A box.
A box. And they want, you know, the roof lines and the facades articulated to the extent that it's possible. And that building, I think I may have guessed at prior meetings that a typical CVS or Rite Aid might be up to 10,000 square feet. This one's 8,000 square feet in gross floor area. And it's also 8,000 square feet where it lands on the ground because it's only one story. Let's see, I don't know what else to say about that. The next one, number 4, Stop and Shop Plaza, that's also in Hyde Park on Route 9. This is, this one is a redeveloped plaza, so you're going to see, sorry, but most of these examples have the parking right in front. Anyway, this is a redeveloped plaza, but the planning board worked really hard to get them to kind of improve things architecturally and come up with a theme. And basically, in the image that you have in front of you, about 2/3 to 3/4 of the length that you're seeing in this picture is all Stop and Shop. And it is still Stop and Shop. It hasn't been converted to box yet. So that's a big store. However, not as big as I thought. I always thought that the big grocery stores were closer to 100,000 square feet. This one was a little hard to figure out because they only gave the gross floor area for the entire plaza in the parcel mapping resources. So the entire plaza, did I say that anymore? Yeah, 125,000, yep. And so I was able to discern that the grocery store, the Stop and Shop occupancy is about 76,000. And then I think there are 4 or 5 smaller retail occupancies in that.
So were you saying that this all at one point was sort of like, you know, Fairview Avenue, you know, the plaza in Greenport, it's just one big long
strip. Right, it's not
and,
my favorite design.
You know, they have different, the signs are better now,
right.
But they're not,
yeah, and
they're still not this.
Understand this.
So this was sort of retrofitted.
This was retrofitted, and honestly, I'd rather not see a big long strip.
Yeah, no,
I'm
no.
Hoping that,
but they, yeah. They worked with what they had, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't think you'd want to build something like this to begin with.
It also
yeah.
has all the parking in front.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
right.
No,
exactly.
So they try to make it better.
My goal here was just to try to,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
you've got all these numbers in the text and
yeah.
to try to give some idea of massing. So if you can just pretend the parking's not there, and if you were to take, you know, 2/3 of the length of that building and maybe put an alley in there or a little plaza and then, you know, like a place to sit,
park,
et cetera. There are a lot more ways to present this that would be more desirable than this, but this is just to give you a sense of how big are these buildings. Because we were talking about cubic volume and,
yeah.
and building footprints. So, and then Adams Ferry Farms, that's number 5. If you look at this is the one in Poughkeepsie on Route 44, and if you look at it from the air, it's huge. Because they've stayed primarily with one story and they kept adding things on. And this is town of Poughkeepsie. And I guess along the way, they've been pushing to have them break up their facade. So I've given you 2 views. The first one with the grass in front is as you see it from Route 44. And the next image of Adams Ferry Acre Farms is as seen, you know, from the western sort of side parking lot. And you can see they've tried to articulate it with roof lines. There are some places based on the, you know, tax parcel information where they did have a second floor, but it was kind of hard to tell what was real second floor and what were they just showing as second floor. But that store itself is about 76,000 square feet. And again, it wasn't clear in the tax parcel thing because of the way they write up each little space and add on, et cetera. So I just measured it with a little square on parcel access and on Google Earth. And then last but not least, so we've done the two residential examples and the two commercial examples, just to show mass again. Queen City Lofts, which is on Main Street in Poughkeepsie. Now, this is a true mixed-use structure. And when you look at the image, it is actually a decent facade. The first floor facing Main Street, you have two restaurants and I think it's three or four retail occupancies, small ones. I think they were 1,300 square feet. Hold on a second here. No, there were four retail occupancies that totaled 6,300 square feet. So, yeah, so 1,500 plus each on average. And the two restaurants, one was about 3,000 square feet gross floor, including the kitchen and seating area, and the other was smaller.
Is that a restoration or a new construction?
That is new construction, but it's on a main street. It's on a main street, it's on a corner, and, you know, again, my other disclaimer is it is in an urban area.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the middle of Main Street, you know, city of Poughkeepsie. But I wanted you to see, and if you see the rendering shows you how they broke it up with color and the dentils, I guess, along the top of the roof line and the different storefronts and all that. If you see the actual layout, they did try to do a little bit with the articulation. I mean, obviously, in an urban situation, you don't want to do too much articulation because then you're losing square footage in a place that is very expensive to develop. But at least you can see the possibility of mixed use. And again, in Claverick's context, maybe what you'd be looking at within that 45 maximum height is you'd have one story of something that's not residential or non-residential, commercial, retail, office, and then maybe two stories of apartments or some kind of housing over that, and then a peaked roof, so you wouldn't end up with a flat roof.
It looks like by the way they've indicated the shadows, the facades are set back, right?
Yes.
They go back and forth.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah. Has this been built?
It's in the middle of being built.
And the context of something like that, there would be low buildings similar to that in the neighborhood.
Pretty much. You know, most of Main Street is, you know, some kind of storefront or business, whether it's a law office or a little deli, with a couple, two, three stories of apartments on top. So, you know, in that context, three stories of apartments on top, you know, maybe makes sense, but maybe one or two stories.
So in our aspect of what we're looking at, if we have assisted living or affordable housing, that wouldn't have any business area on that side of the road. If you're looking at someplace, do you put businesses with that type of building or no?
I think you can.
I think you could organize services, it that way. You know, whether it's a coffee
you
shop
could.
Or...
That's what I mean. So,
Yeah.
Wasn't there a discussion on where they couldn't
yeah.
separate the two, that if it was the true mixed development, that there had to be, that you couldn't have one on one side and something on the other side?
You can't
side?
Have too much residential, and you can't have too much commercial.
Right.
And then there are some special permit allowances
okay.
to go back and forth, but the idea is that
it's truly mixed.
To keep them mixed.
It's truly mixed, and the design guidelines are going to point you in the direction of trying to get something, instead of having parking lined up in front and building in back, to have buildings closer to the road. That's why you give some easier setbacks to allow that flexibility. In other words, you don't want to say to somebody, we want you to have a 100-foot setback, and then we want you to have parking in the back, because that's just doesn't make any practical sense.
Right.
But then again, you don't want it so they put the parking in the front because you've moved them back so far that they say, now you see a big parking lot every time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so ideally, what would be nice to see would be, I don't know if you've seen any developments, I know there's one up in Cape Cod, or probably something closer by, where what you have is the look of streets. Instead of a big long building, maybe you have a building and some kind of a street with maybe some parking on the side of it, and then another building street. So it looks a little bit more like a little sort of hamlet area or more like a neighborhood.
Have you ever seen a PDD design so that it strongly encourages a particular type of development, like assisted living? I mean, I don't think we'd ever want to have something that only allowed that, but that it incentivized developers that might be interested in building something like that.
Well, I think
in a particular area.
I think the idea with successful zoning, in my opinion, is to avoid defining uses too narrowly.
Right.
And the thing is that communities that are doing well right now have a mixture of age groups.
Yeah.
In other words, I have one community in Southeast Dutchess that really, really wants a lot of any kind of senior living, whether it be senior apartments, assisted living, and you know, and so forth, which is great, but the people that are going to work there are going to need to have some place to live. And you know, the same is true of, well, I look at something like Kingston. Kingston's pretty mixed age group, pretty mixed income group right now. It doesn't seem to be aging out, and what we're seeing oddly is younger people coming in, renting for a while, and staying put, maybe doing a small startup, and then starting to buy homes and fix them up. And I think it's good to have a mix. So, you know, there is always the concern with any kind of apartment or housing that suddenly you're going to have all these school children. And I don't know what's happening in Clawbrook. I don't know what your school capacities and enrollment is, but in most of the communities, at least in Ulster County and in a lot of Dutchess County communities, enrollment is down.
Yeah.
And elementary schools or whatever are closing or being combined with other schools. So the old, I shouldn't say old, the former concern of, say, the 80s and 90s of too many school kids and not enough ratables, et cetera, kind of isn't happening right now. And on some level, we kind of need more young people to come back in and to keep the mix going of how are people living in apartments, buying homes, fixing up homes, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think they leave because they have to have jobs.
They have jobs.
You have young people.
You gotta be able to support your family. And if you can go up to Albany and live closer up there, and more job, that's what they do.
And they're renting longer.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what anybody else's experience is, but my son and daughter-in-law are renting.
So by going by the comprehensive plan, where we say affordable housing, senior citizen housing, do we set the guidelines so that it made sure that when somebody applies for something, that we can say, okay, if they don't have that in there for some reason, they just have apartments, they might not have senior citizen housing, they might not have affordable housing. How do we make sure that that is covered? In other words, if that's what our plan says for us to do, is the rules and regulations you're going to be setting up in there, Liz, that says, okay, this is what you got to do, percentage-wise is this, percentage-wise is this. I mean, I don't know, that's how I'm feeling.
Well, there are percentages set
when people come to apply for something, is
right.
It?
There are percentages set up in there. Okay, so I'm looking, starting on page 3 of the part of what you have that's, it says zoning law on page 1. It's like a header in the center, it's text. It's all text. So I'm looking at page three, in the middle of page 3, 11.5, are some standards and controls. So first you have permitted density is based on the table. Number two, no more than 25% of the total dwelling units within the PDD shall be two-family detached, because I don't believe you're going to have a ton of room for that. Business industrial uses, no more than 25% of the total permitted floor area in the PDD shall be developed for business or industrial. And just kind of walking you back through, flipping to the use table. In your use table, there are several categories. Business and industrial are two of them, and there's a lengthy list of business and industrial uses. But in addition to that, the other categories of uses are residential uses and residential community facilities, and also general community facilities. And so getting back to your question about, where did we put, I don't know that we put senior housing as a specific thing. But under residential community facilities.
Yeah, you have it, it's seven and eight.
Yep, under residential. Senior housing, nursing. So those are considered to be community facilities. So in that mixture of, you can have 25% business or industrial.
Right.
And then the remaining 75% is all these other things. Those items.
I think if you had so much residential, say, they make 500 units, is there, do we have something in there that says a certain percentage of that has to be assisted living? Is that kind of what you were?
I mean, the whole thing, the comprehensive plan, that's what it suggests, that we should have that, and I think that's what we're all talking about, because everybody's getting older, they want a place assisted living and affordable housing. And I want to make sure the developer doesn't go down and say, oh, okay, I'm going to put all these apartments up, but I'm not going to have affordable housing.
But we have the ability to say...
That's what I'm asking.
It's not
that's
within
I mean.
Keeping of our
comprehensive
plan.
Like
and so we...
We have that control.
Accept that.
Have that control.
Proposal, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I didn't put in...
Yeah, no, you don't want to have it as...
But I was asking, as the process goes forward, if somebody proposes something, we want to be able to have control of it to an extent to say yes or no, not that all of a sudden we hand them this is our new law, and they say, oh, I can do this, and by the way.
And better the control be through the comprehensive plan.
I think
right.
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
said,
that's
yes.
all I'm asking is, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I'm just saying, I want to make sure that that's covered, because that's what a lot of people have said to me, that, you know, we really need senior citizen housing, they need a place to go.
Yeah, I agree that not... You know, legislating it in this percentage, but going back to the comprehensive plan, going to the objectives, but also you have a process in here. First of all, there's this rule of thumb that if somebody comes to the town board with a proposal to change zoning, technically you could just,
no thank you.
You could just say no thank you.
Yeah.
Right. You can reject it out of hand. There's a process in here where the applicant that wants to have one of these PDDs has to really demonstrate to you that it's a project that would be of interest to you. And between the town board review and the planning board, there's a lot of opportunity for input for the town to say, well, this is what we're really looking for. You know, why don't you go away and take your concept plan, put some assisted living and senior housing back in, and come back and we'll have some more discussion.
Right.
I don't remember off the top of my head what the language is in the comprehensive plan, but they are supposed to, right up in front, your objectives of the plan development district talks about, I'm on page 2, diverse uses, compatible and unified plan, that's number 1. Let's see. 3 is increased availability of housing needs for all economic levels. In service facilities that fulfills the needs of the surrounding area. Service, assisted living is housing, but it's also really a service. So those are some of your general, verbiage, but...
We have copies of the plan, of the comprehensive plan where we've highlighted, highlighted for us, the areas that mention, in particular, senior citizen and affordable housing in general.
And right above the objectives is the general intent, which is, the PDD must utilize planning that preserves open space, safeguards the environment compatible with historic, cultural, and scenic resources that are pedestrian-oriented. And number two is the PDD is establishing furtherance of the basic policies and objectives as set forth in the town of Clover. Pardon me, Clover, comprehensive plan. Ray keeps trying to get me to say it. Sorry.
You have to be here 20 years to say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you have plenty of latitude.
Okay, right, that is the question.
You need to ultimately, between the town board and the planning board, be able to write a findings that's totally supported by your comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
And these objectives, and I guess, you know, this process, I know I created a chart that shows you all the different complicated, but the whole point of it is to massage a project to the point where you feel confident that they recommend, the planning board recommend, the town board is saying, okay, let's go ahead.
So I got a quick, I just got another question, because it's come up at the county level. just thinking out loud, you know, they're running right now the sewer line up, they're planning on running the sewer line up to Converse Park. Whether we could tie into that sewer line is another question over and above. So the question comes up, if somebody proposes something like this, they have to propose the sewer and the water to be efficient to support this, no matter how, what they have to do it. It's all on their...
Just for their, them to even be feasible, if they want this kind of development, even to be feasible.
To make it work, right.
And, you know, ultimately, if they're going to create their own system, and they don't happen to have a place where they could do a surface discharge, in other words, create a wastewater treatment plant and discharge into a stream. I think that's a little touchy right now, given what's happened. If they had to do all subsurface discharge, in other words, they do this wastewater treatment plant and the treated effluent is going to be discharged into the ground, they're going to have to use all their best land to have that kind of discharge. So the onus is going to be on the developer on some level to work with the community about making those kinds of improvements. They want to do this kind of development.
Right.
They may ultimately become involved. I mean, this is kind of happening down in Pauling where they become involved in working with whatever agencies are going to help them to bring sewer down to their project area, pursue funding with the community, et cetera.
Right.
So I think you really do have to have separate water and sewer for any of this to work.
That would have to be the first step. I mean, if you don't have water and sewer, you can't go up to the
unless they build a sewer plant
or their own
water supply. I mean, but again, that expense probably puts everything out of business and aren't going to do it. You know, if they got to spend all that kind of money, this is a huge conglomerate. You know, that can support all that expense. You know, they have to do that.
But is the water situation now such that they could, because what's being built right now is sewer, correct?
Sewer line is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The water line comes from the Greenport well up to the Commerce Park. Actually, that comes up and goes through behind the road stop. But there's also a water source on this property they could tap into if they wanted to. The only problem with the water source that I see in that area, which we're fighting with now, which has nothing to do with the development, is the pressure. They have to put a tower up. We've talked about that all over that. Somehow they've got to get better pressure, because right now they're supporting everything up there with just what the pumps put out as pressure, and it's not a tank. So without the tank, you're not getting that, you know. So we're always a little worried about Whittier. If there's a major fire in there, they might not have the pressure. Once they hook up to the hydrants or whatever they got to do, they start pumping. They can't pump fast enough. That's what the tank will allow, that pressure to be up there. So we're looking at the county level. We're looking at that to see what we can do up there just to support that. The trouble is, it's Greenport's water. So that's another issue we gotta deal with, is Greenport's water, it's not the county's water, it's the same with the sewer line.
I was gonna say, Greenport's plant.
Right, it's their plant, not, you know, so, you know, so we're gonna be meeting with them, I gotta talk with Kathy, the new superintendent for Greenport. We'll get through that, I don't think it'll be a problem with sewer, the water we might have to do, maybe a water tank or something.
Well, there's a chicken egg thing too that goes on here, where if you're bringing water and sewer to a location, you wanna make sure that it makes sense to bring it to that location. Having more users.
Correct.
Is helpful, and if some developer is gonna go to the trouble of bringing that, they're gonna wanna end up with some level of gross leasable area that's gonna bring in return on development, so. So that's the idea of allowing a certain amount of density.
Sorry to interrupt, Ben, but.
No,
These things come up as we talk about different things, you know, and how we gotta make sure this is all covered, because just to say we're gonna put a development in, we gotta make sure everything is covered on our, on the other end too, so. Should that take care of the problem, you know? So, I mean, we had an issue where they were gonna do a plant up there that was gonna do alcohol. And what they found was the sewage out of the alcohol plant was so toxic that it would have overwhelmed the Greenport plant. Because it was just so resident toxic of going, not say toxic poison, but I mean, it was so confined, so much of it, that it would have overwhelmed the system, they wouldn't have enough capacity. Now, Greenport has a lot of capacity left, we've talked. I don't think they're at a third of their capacity right now. Even with all the businesses and everything that's down there, they have a lot more capacity to build, and they can add on. I think, you know, we talked about that too, but, you know, so and right, and what you said is the whole point of this is the more users you get, the more money comes into their facility, which supports their facility, and if they're running right, and can expand if they have to do it. I mean, they have the perfect spot for it, so. Anyway. I'm sorry, anybody else have anything to say? There's things you gotta think, you're always thinking about things,
input.
That's the thing, how it all works. So.
And I didn't know if anybody had any more time to read. I know it's not easy to read. It's good if you're trying to get to sleep.
We're talking to all these, we're all nerds about this
Okay,
stuff.
Fine. So, obviously, you know, I've been taking notes on the commentary that I've gotten as we've gone along, and at some point, I would do a rewrite. I haven't because I was.
Well, I think we're getting to that point. I mean, I got to say this. I think we've had quite a few meetings, and if anybody there tells me otherwise, we're getting to the point where we got to do something. I think we want to keep moving ahead. I think you can sit here and say we've talked about a few things tonight, but we've talked in the last meetings are a lot more discussion.
Yeah, there was a lot of.
And I think we've covered a lot of the areas already. Unless somebody else has stuff to come up. And I think even if you did a rewrite, once we have that, then I think we can go through that and say, okay, this is what we have. Now what else has to go to it?
And looking ahead.
Might show us something.
Right. I mean, looking ahead, I guess what I would suggest is any commentary there is, I'd like to hear it tonight so that I can make any revisions to this, come up with a revised, zoning law text, the use table, the bulk table, get that all revised. Bring it back and have another discussion.
I think that's great, and if it's not in the rewrite or cover,
it's
you started out explaining, and I'm basing this question on things that people have asked me, and they hear, you know, and explaining how this proposed zoning law would apply to the 9H property. Specifically, and then to other potential properties down the line. You sort of explained it, but I think that could be spelled out clearly. So
I'm not sure what is the 9H property.
It's the one that we keep referring to up on 9H on the two sides.
It's really
66.
Okay. It's really
the commercial zone, right?
The commercial
zone. Commercial zone we're
the highway commercial zone.
I thought we'd discussed not having 100.
Yeah,
right.
Acre.
Yeah, but I don't think we have any. I think the other commercial zones we even have in the town are even big enough to even meet the threshold of the smaller.
Right, and I know there was discussion about possibly, in addition to doing commercial, doing other.
Well, I think Gretchen in particular brought up, but I don't think we've talked about that enough to know what to do with that yet.
And I'm not nudging one way or another.
She's not here, so I'm not.
Right, so I guess I'm just asking to understand that if, when this is passed, is that held in reserve for when somebody comes and has a potential project for there and then it's enacted,
right,
or it's enacted and it sits there? That's the thing I think some people don't quite understand.
Because it's confusing.
It is. So in the end of the day, okay, so let's say we go and we revise this, come back, discuss it some more between the town board, planning board, ZBA, you feel like, all right, let's start the environmental review and all that. At the end of all that review process, if the town board's inclined to adopt and create, you know, adopt this zoning law, this zoning amendment, they would simply create this designation, PDD, Plan Development District. It would be in your zoning law, but it wouldn't result in any zoning map changes right away. And then this vehicle is now in your zoning law, and if a developer is interested, property owner, whatever,
it can meet the
criteria. They can start the process of trying to have their land, if it's in a commercial district, you know, designated as a PDD district on the map.
Okay.
But so they would have to make it land on the ground. All the town is doing is creating the vehicle so that they could try.
But this is only for the commercial district at this time.
Right now, that's
right.
My understanding.
Right, right.
So in other words, they would have to come and prove that they are worthy in all the things we've been discussing to designate that as a planned development.
But in the meantime, if a landowner in that area wanted to subdivide under our current zoning and allow for a smaller commercial,
mm-hmm. They could.
If we pass it, this does not prevent them from still
not
going the regular.
From the regular zoning that exists.
So this doesn't
for
wipe
the highway
out.
It does
this
not
does
supersede
not
quite, it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nope. Which I think is something that some people I think have thought.
That's a good question.
And
I don't know if other towns
bit, think,
have, you know, have you ever seen where another town has totally wiped out what was there and the PDD is what it is? That has to be there?
Not really. I know
right.
Down in Pauling, they had an area a long time ago. It was shaded as the PDD overlay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was in other zoning districts. It was either in commercial or
mm-hmm.
nearby residential. But they just had this area that was shaded on the zoning map as possible PDD. But it wasn't zoned PDD. It was either zoned highway commercial or residential. And
okay.
If somebody had enough land and they wanted to pursue it,
so if somebody came to the town board and said, okay, I'd like to look at doing a PDD zone somewhere else, except in the commercial zone.
Then you'd have to do another zoning amendment.
Then we'd have to do another zoning amendment.
Yeah.
That, like, so it's just
we'd
so
have to create
a new.
Yeah, unless
correct.
We decide to make it.
Well.
Unless we decide to move this, but I mean, right now, this
right.
is just for the commercial.
Right now, it's just for commercial. That's my understanding. And actually, the reason that I'm asking that is not to prompt you one way or another, but that if we're going to revise this zoning text and start to move forward, I need to know what we're looking at to prepare an environmental document to move forward on public and environmental review. So I'm either examining just the commercial zoning districts that would be affected by this or any other zoning district.
Yeah, well, I think when we had our discussion before, remember, I think Gretchen brought up, like, if they wanted to put a arts
recreational,
something else that would be totally different than what we're looking for, or would that fall within the PDD? In other words, do they want to put a down the line, take Cass Valley Oil on the right down there? Somebody came in and said, I got 200 acres and I want to put this big arts.
Legoland. Yeah.
How does that play out with this PDD?
I mean, that's what she said.
There is a Legoland, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I know
yeah.
there is one. Right.
Just put
right.
One.
Right.
Right.
Would this one still be the footprint for it if we did something else? Everything's covered in this one?
Are
covered, right.
But I seem to remember last time this came up, if somebody wanted to do commercial outdoor recreation, I'm just looking through. Well, you have recreational facility commercial outdoors as one of the business uses. So technically you could do that.
But I think what she was thinking was more in a different zone.
Oh.
Because we don't have much. And what else, James? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. What other areas of the town would even be commercial? And we're talking now, what, 50? 50?
They're not large blocks.
No, I know, that's what I'm thinking.
This is the only.
This is, I'm trying to think if there's any other.
There's one over on 23 by the other end.
By the end tree, but that's not.
It's small.
How big? Is anything else? I think so.
So it would be outside. Residential would be this.
Or rural agriculture, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I don't wanna get sidetracked, because I wanna really focus on this zone, and that's where I think we gotta go with this, is get that started someplace. Now, we can sit here and guess if everything is gonna develop, we'll probably not even be around when something like that ever comes on, so who knows? But I'd like to get this going, because that's what we brought up, and that's where I think it's important that we do. It's zone commercial, we wanna change it. And I'd like to keep moving forward, I really would. So I think we're at that point where we should have it, but Ray out there in the audience says, no, I wanna move ahead and let it get written up, and then we can go over it again and see, because I think we're all in agreement we're gonna do this, if it looks like it'll work, you know?
But I think, Stephen, your point, and I don't know, maybe I'm misunderstanding what you said, but I think whatever we end up coming up with for the understanding of the public as we go through this process, I think it would be helpful to have one or so pages of just sort of getting set of the context of this whole thing. Because people who haven't been here, I think there's a lot of misinformation about what, you know, what this is and what this isn't.
I think it's how it works and how it's enacted, because a lot of people, I think that this supersedes the commercial zoning that's
or they
there
don't
now.
Even understand that commercial zoning is what's there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and they don't really even know what that
right.
contains, you know.
Right.
They,
people think it's,
they
you know, prime farmland that we're taking away.
Right,
it,
or...
Meanwhile, only commercial
right.
could be there to
or
begin with.
Or there'll be an automobile manufacturing
right.
facility
right.
there. I mean, it's...
So I think, you know, some kind of introductory kind of thing I think is important to, you know, think.
Right. Well, that kind of thing actually would be in an environmental document. So for example, Foley AF, I'm hoping that we can work with the full environmental assessment form, you know, add to it. But the first thing you're going to do is describe what's called the action, you know, the proposed action. So that's when you would get into describing that you would consider the document's law and the mechanics of how it would work. It would refer somebody to look at the details, but you would explain
on a high level
that it isn't. You would explain what it is and what it isn't. You would explain that it's a zoning text, but it's not a zoning map amendment. You would explain that it's we're changing our zoning, but there isn't any land development or disturbance proposed. That you kind of lay those things out, that it's only in this zoning district, but it doesn't affect all these other ones, that kind of thing.
So
make it a little clearer,
I think,
hopefully.
So give us the next step. So if we, what will be our next step for our next meeting? So let's put it that way. We'll start in the next couple, two,
right.
3 months. So where are we at? So we're going to come
so
through.
So what I would suggest, and of course I'd like to talk to Rob, but I've been through a lot of these procedures before. What I would suggest is that I take this and rewrite it and get that back to you. And I think I might have said this, I don't know if I heard this in an email to Lauren or maybe to everybody, I don't remember. I don't know who got the email today. I think the other thing, it wouldn't hurt to come back with sort of an outline of what the environmental review document would look like.
So is that the step after we look at this, is the next environmental review?
I think you
want
to try to start doing both at the
or
same
do you
time.
Do, okay,
so
or
words,
do you go, when do you go to the public? That's the last step
well,
you do?
Well, I think it's worth it. You want
to
make sure that when you have this zoning that's been revised according to your comments, did I cover all the comments?
Gotcha.
Do you have the vehicle that you thought you wanted? And so I do those revisions, bring it back to you, and you give it one more look and make sure that it is what you want. Get any final comments. In the meantime, I could be working on, unless you have somebody else that does this kind of thing, the beginnings. Okay. Fine.
There you go.
Good to
I found somebody else.
Don't want to step on any toes. I would start working up an environmental review document, like an EAF with a little outline, and start writing it and come back to you to say, you know, here's what I'm finding in all this land. It looks like there's archaeological sensitivity, so I'm going to need to do ask a, you know, cultural resources person to do a report, or, oh, it looks like, you know, maybe you've got Blanding's turtles or something like that. I'm going to need an environmental person to do a habitat assessment.
What I would suggest,
I would come up with an outline, some basics and an outline. I'm not going to authorize any other specialist to do a report without.
And what I suggest,
knowing
I think
that's
from,
where we're going
to
go.
From this meeting today, I think you get in touch with Rob and just talk to him. Mm-hmm. Say this is what we want to do and what he feels. And see what he thinks on that, just to let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And you just let us know at the town level.
You know, given the fact that we have only 3 weeks between now and our next workshop.
She's got to work hard.
No. Well, what I'm wondering could be is whether or not we take that month off to figure that out and then give her a little bit more time.
Maybe I turn the zoning right around, get it right back to you, start working on the environmental stuff.
That's what I would think. I'd rather have the zoning back.
We'll have like a month to look at the
zoning. If you can get the zoning back,
zoning is important.
That's important.
Take a while to read anyway.
Yeah, and then that can be shared by, you know.
Then we can have our comments and then we can.
That's all right.
So we wouldn't have her come back necessarily for the next workshop, but we would have something to start to look at and discuss it for which part of the zoning.
Yeah, we could sit back and have our meeting, and she doesn't have to come up here and, you know, every week or month, and we go through it, and if we pick anything out, we just let her know. Because I think we've gone through it as a group anyway, so we already kind of know what we're talking about.
It'd be better to read one and then the other, probably.
Yeah, and then if we come back, then Liz will come back the following month, and then we're going to go up here and whatever. And like I said, in the meantime, we'll be talking to Rob to see what we got to do and where we're at, so.
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
And I mean, I would give Rob any alerts, you know, if something comes up where we need a specialist to do some kind of report.
Well, and the other thing too, we can hear about that right now.
We just recently got a report on all the water in the entire town, the rural resources staff. So that's something that we're going to have them probably come in.
Well, you have to let me know what meeting you want him to come to.
Yeah, he's willing to come, Kippy, to talk to us.
Steve Winkley from
Rural
Water.
Yeah, I just haven't read it.
He mapped out the entire town.
Yeah, so
he got some money, grants or something.
Yeah, so with that information obviously would be useful for a planning board.
Groundwater study?
Yes. I could forward it to you.
So we can, if we have that I think could be a presentation at one of our upcoming board meetings if he's willing to. That was the one thing I was going to mention tonight. He's willing to come to any town board meeting and give us a presentation to the public and to us about his findings.
And the other thing is, I know that the comprehensive plan is pretty current.
Right.
Were there any kind of basic studies that were done before the comprehensive plan was done? No, it was pretty much
put
our heads together and came up with objectives.
It had been done in the 70s before that.
Oh, okay.
When it was boilerplate, everybody had the same one.
Well, dirt doesn't change a whole lot, but other things do.
I'm sure somebody would argue that.
I know. I've never saved it.
Well, we did have the GIS system, though. That's one thing.
Right.
Great improvement from before.
Yeah, no, the technology and figuring out stuff is a lot easier.
Does Columbia County have parcel mapping where they have natural resources and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Columbia County.
It's getting better. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's getting better.
All right.
So, okay. Anybody have any other questions?
Thank you.
I have not been involved in this, so excuse me. But what I would not like to see is the way Dutchess County, the main route to Route 9, with lots of parking in the front and strip malls that go on endlessly. That is something that really just despoils county, I think.
Ian, I'd like to say this. We're not open to public comment. I'm sorry, this is a workshop for the planning and zoning board only at this point in time. You're going to have lots of time to talk about what we're going to be bringing up. I'm not saying it's not a good thing to do it, but I just don't want to keep everybody sitting here. They're going to start when, and then everybody just starts showing up and telling us that we're going to open up the public comment when that time comes. And Everybody will be allowed to speak all night long.
I was responding.
You can always, no, I know.
I was responding to you, Kippy.
I know, and I'm not stopping you, I'm just saying that this is what we want to do. I don't want to get to the point where you open the, and they come to me, so, thank you.
Just now. Oh, to my email address?
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, again. We will have.